Gospel according to St. John, chapter number 18, beginning at verse number 33. John 18, beginning at verse 33 and verses following. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But I want to talk about an inconvenient truth. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. With all due respect to the former vice president, an inconvenient truth. We want to look at this inconvenient truth that is shown to us in the Word of God. Jesus makes a profound statement in verse number 37 that speaks to his coming and the reason that he came to this people planet. He gave to all of us the truth of his person and his purpose. Please take note. Number one, Jesus is a king. Jesus has a kingdom that is not of this world. Jesus came to bring truth to the world. Most of all, he says in verse 37, everyone who loves the truth recognizes what Jesus says is true, which really is the essence of verse 37. Hallelujah. However, to Pilate, that is an inconvenient truth. Several things I want us to see. Like Pilate, for many, the truth is elusive. Amen. The truth is elusive. It's right in front of you, yet there is the inability to grasp it. The sad part about it is that it's right in your face. You see it, but you really can't handle it. And really, I thought for a while, should I really talk about can you handle the truth? A lot of folk can't handle the truth. Amen. It's elusive. Amen. We know what it says, but yet we can't find ourselves doing it. Amen. Amen. Think about Pilate. Here is the way, the truth, and the life standing right before him. And he has the audacity to ask, what is truth? Jesus is so clear in his word what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live, but yet somebody still says, well, did he really mean that? Well, yeah, he meant that. Whatever he says, he meant. And he meant what he said. Now, Jesus speaks with clarity. See, we make it difficult, but he speaks with clarity. You know, it's kind of like kids that your parents will tell them something, but because they don't like what they're hearing, that they want further clarification. What you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. If I'm saying I want you back at 10 o'clock, I want you back at 10 o'clock. Amen. If I say you can't use the car, really I'm saying you can't use the car. If I'm saying to you that I'm not going to give you any money, then I'm not going to give you any money. You know, it's clear, but to some folk, it's elusive. Now, that last example, my son always comes over, and I done told, don't be over here looking for no money. Amen. If you won't get a job.
Okay.
You know, I'm clear about that. Now, you might be hurting, and I will help you. But if you just need money because you don't want to work, then you don't find it here. Unfortunately, he finds it in his mother. But there has to be clarity, and Jesus speaks with clarity. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But see, truth is so elusive, we have a way of saying, well, I can go through all of the religious trappings and folk will believe that I love him because I know how to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I know how to say all those things, but what the Lord is looking for is someone who will do those things. And so my brothers and sisters, I would suggest to you, we need more do-alleluia and just a little bit less of hallelujah. Amen. When we find ourselves doing the will of God, amen, God loves us, and he loves us with an unconditional love, but we have trouble showing that love to him because he has set the measure by which it determined that I love him. I love him when I keep his commandments. So the truth is elusive. Amen. The truth, my brothers and sisters, is that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Amen. All are in need of a Savior. Have I got a witness? Amen. Whether it's the Roman governor, Pilate, or the Texas governor, a CEO, or Jonathan. Amen. Although the truth for some is elusive, the scripture makes it clear how we can hear him and we can come to him. Listen to what the scripture says. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Zephaniah 2 and 3. Simply put, it says we're all sinners, amen, that's in need of a Savior. Amen. When Jesus is talking to Pilate, Pilate needs a Savior. Those that had brought an accusation against Jesus needed a Savior. For here he is in their midst, and yet they can't see truth. Moving right along. For some, the truth is not only elusive, but it's evasive. Amen. The truth for them is evasive. There are those who create their own truth. I was listening at one of the divas of the talk shows that I will allow anonymity, but she usually says, how you doing? She says that she has created her own truth. Amen. She said, well, my truth. Well, can I tell you something? There is only the truth. Amen. It's not relative truth, how you feel about it, because the way you feel about it really means nothing. It's what Jesus says is true, it's true. Have I got a witness? Amen. The truth is not what I say, nor is the truth in what you say. The truth is found in Jesus. Amen. John 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says, the Word was made flesh. Hallelujah. and dwelt among us. And we, John says, beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. If we want to know truth, you have to go to the source of truth. And the only source of truth is found in Jesus. Amen. 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 And so we need to understand that truth is not something that evades us. We can find it if we look for truth. And you got to look for it in Jesus. How do I live my life? Amen. Not the way I want to live it. And I must know that Jesus tells us how to live because he wants us to have a better life. I wish I had somebody here. Amen. You see, when you do it your way, amen, you always come up short. But when you do it God's way, God knows what you need, when you need it, how to give it to you, how for you to keep it. And when we understand that he wants to do it for us, amen, truth no longer is evasive. For some of us, we know what the word says, amen, but we got trouble living up to what he says. Amen, I want to do it my way. Well, you know, there are those who like to say it's my way or the highway. Can I tell you something, folks? Jesus says, through the writings of the Apostle Paul, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the measure of how you ought to love your wife is shown by how Christ loved the church. And if that be the case, you can't have a pair and a spare. Now, I know my wife don't understand me. And so, sweet Lucy does. My wife is so, she's just not what I'm looking for. She must have been something when you married her. I'm trying to get to say, truth is evasive. We will find ways to convince ourselves for not doing what the Lord say we're to do. Amen. It's evasive. Well, I know what it says. I know the Bible says that we should train up a child in the way they should go. But I want them to be my friend. Your children are not your friend. They're your children. And the Lord has given them to you, and he has given you the responsibility of raising them in the fear and the admonition of God. And when we let the truth get away from us because we want to be buddies with them, amen. But see, when you say, and I've said it before, when you say 10 o'clock, it's not 10:02. It's 10 o'clock. Amen. If I say to you that you might not be the most brilliant student at school, but at least your deportment can be good. Somebody didn't get that. Amen. You can at least have good deportment. You might get a C in math, in English, but you ought to get an A. When it relates to deportment, because you can control that. Well, you know, yes, we know. Then, when we talk about an inconvenient truth, I want you to see the other side of that inconvenient truth. For there are those, the hearers of inconvenient truth, they need to know that truth is engaging. That Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and it is the truth, come on somebody, that makes you free. Amen. Now, to be demonstrative on that, it was an engaging truth that delivered the woman of Samaria. The Bible said that here is a woman that comes to the well in the middle of the day. And the reason, because she was not one of the good women of Samaria. Amen. Her life was not up to par. And so as a reason, while all the other ladies come in the cool of the evening, she comes in the middle of the day. But the Lord had orchestrated it because Jesus had already said, I must need go through Samaria. The disciples were going into town to buy food, and Jesus was left alone sitting on the well. Isn't it amazing, a well of water sitting on a well? And the woman comes and they enter into a dialogue, and Jesus says, give me to drink. And she says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for water? For you know, we have no dealings. But you see, Jesus, in his engaging way, knows how to bring us together. And at some point, we're going to have to learn the truth, the engaging truth, that we are one people. Amen. We're not black and white. We're not rich and poor. We are one blood. Amen. When you bleed red. For rich folk, you don't bleed green. Amen. I don't care how rich you are. Even if you hit the lottery at $500 million, you still bleed red. But Jesus says to the woman, long discussion, but he says, if you knew who it was, hallelujah, and who it is that's asking you for water, amen, you would turn around and ask him for water. And he would in turn set up in you a well of water. In other words, there's an engaging truth that it does not matter where we come from, we can come together. Amen. She says to him, well, you Jews talk about in Jerusalem is the place to worship, but we worship on this mountain. Jesus said the hour is coming, and now is, where we're going to worship the Lord. How? Spirit and in truth. Doesn't matter whether I'm on the mountain or in the valley. Amen. I can worship him whether I'm on 59 or whether I'm at church, whether I'm at work. I can worship him because he's made it possible. The truth is engaging. It lets us know it's not about us and it's not about him. Amen. It's about you. It's all about the Lord Jesus. So the truth is engaging. But more than that, not only is the truth elusive, the truth sometimes for some, amen, is evasive, but glory to be to God, it's engaging. But more than that, the truth is enlightening. Amen. When we learn John 3:16, you might not learn much out of the Bible, but if you can learn John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not have to perish, but would have everlasting life. It gives insight. Does not matter where I came from. Amen. If I love God, amen, I can become a servant of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. That, John 3:33. Those who believe Jesus discover that God is true. Amen. Amen. God is true. God said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Do you know that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God? There is nothing of yourself you can brag about, but I'm so glad that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and gave his life as a ransom for our sins. And so I know that all is well. Amen. Amen. I am enlightened to know that when this life is over, I shall wear a crown. One of the unfortunates is that people have not been enlightened to the fact that they need the Lord. Amen. Amen. You need the Lord in every aspect of your life. You don't just need him when you come to church. You need him when you travel the dirt, the roads. Amen. You need him when you're at work. You need him when you're interacting one with another. You need him when you go to the hospital. You need him when the doctor shakes his head the wrong way. You need him when they call you and say your son has been arrested. You need him. Amen. We need to come to the point where we realize we need the Lord. More than that, there is a truth that we need to know. We need to know that Jesus is Lord. Now, let me tell you something, folks. He's not your Lord if you don't let him rule over you. Amen, amen. It's easy to say Jesus is Lord, but if you don't let him rule over you, then he's not your Lord. Amen. He's still the Lord, but he's not your Lord. But he needs to be your Lord. Amen. You see, the wonderful part about him being your Lord, he takes away all that you're worrying about, the responsibilities that you're trying to carry. Amen. Those become his. He says, roll all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen, amen. I got to tell you that Roscoe Bobo can't help you all of the time. Amen, amen, amen. I was listening at on this same diva show. This one lady said, you know, I had a friend who says to me, you're a good-looking woman, that if you just get you a man, he can take care of you. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You don't need a good, because you're a good-looking woman, have a man to take care of you. God has provided the way for you to take care. Amen. It's God who takes care of you, but he makes the provisions through folk. I wish I had somebody here. Amen, amen. You don't need somebody to make you complete. I need to tell these young, you know, we had the lock in the other night. Let me add a PS to that. Amen. Young women, you don't need anybody to make you complete. The Lord has already made you complete. Amen. All you need to do is let the God that's in you come out of you, and God will provide for you those that he knows you need in your life. Uh-huh. Amen. You know, it's an inconvenient truth that, well, you know, we need him. No, you don't need him. Amen, amen. And he has a way of coming up saying, now, you know, if you love me, you would do X, Y, and Z. And I said, you lying dog. You... Amen, amen, amen. When you understand that God knows how to take care of those that are his, amen, you never need to... I didn't want to go there. Amen, amen, amen. The truth is enduring. Amen, amen. The truth is enduring. The truth is God has shown us how to love. Amen. The scripture says in 1 John, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. When I understand that God is love, and I have to have that same kind of love that God has, and the fact of the matter is, I feel like preaching. When we understand that the love that God has for us is not contingent on us being in the family, he loves us whether we're good or not. But he wants for us the best. And when God wants for us the best, he wants us to keep his commandments. Amen. He wants us to have the best in life. There are those who would take away from what God wants you to have. Amen. For the Bible said the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you would have life and have that life more abundantly. He wants you to have the best that there is. Amen. And when you will let God orchestrate in your life, he will give you the best. I wish I had somebody here. God knows how, amen, even when we were yet sinners, the Bible said God gave heaven's best that we might be reconciled to him. God knew that being estranged from him was not where we ought to be. Have I got a witness? And because he loved us so much, he had already decreed that the wages of sin was death. And all have sinned, so we all under the condemnation of death. But because God is a good God, God said, I will make a way for them to be reconciled to me. And the only way I can do it is through propitiation. Hallelujah. I will give someone that will receive the wrath that was due my servants. And the only one that was worthy was the Son. Hallelujah. And I don't know whether y'all can understand how good God is. But while we were yet sinners, God gave his only begotten son. Amen. Now, amen. Even now. Amen. And I love you. I love you. But I would be hard pressed to give my son for you. Amen. And particularly for somebody who don't even love me. Yeah, but God, while we were estranged from him, sent his son. Talk about an enduring love. Amen. He endured with us while we were on the wrong side. That's why I get excited when I look at the story of Saul of Tarsus. How God had a plan for him from the beginning. For Paul said, or Saul says, when the Lord separated me from my mother's womb, he had a plan. Which simply put is the same as what is found in Jeremiah 1 and 5. Amen. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and made you a prophet unto the nation. Before he's even born, he's already a prophet to the nation. I love that because God says, I call preachers to preach my word. And it does not matter where they've been. Does not matter what they've done. That in the fullness of time, God knows how to take us from where we were. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. It would be good if we could all say we've been perfect. We have not done a thing that's wrong. But the truth of the matter is, all have messed up. Uh-huh. We could all carry a sign that says, Mr. or Mrs. Messer. But I'm glad that God knows how to send his son to take away the sign that said messed up. Able to put a sign on us that says, a loving child. Ah, God is love. But the scripture said, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. The wrath that was due us. God poured it out on his son. That's why I love to read Isaiah that says, he was led as a sheep before her shearer dumb. He opened not his mouth. They led him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They beat him till he was a bloody pelt. And he didn't say a mumbling word. And then in verse 10 of Isaiah 53, and it says that when God looked at it, he was satisfied. He said, the old account has been settled long ago. And I don't know whether that means anything to you or not, but it means much to me. Amen. The boy that came from Fifth Ward is worthy to stand in the pulpit at Friendship. Not because I've been so holy, but because I've been called. Not because I've been so righteous, but I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. God determines who can be used. Amen. Somebody here today, you're living with an inconvenient truth. You're thinking to yourself that when I get myself right, I'll come to the Lord. I got a truth for you. You can't get yourself right. If you could, Jesus would not have had to come. But it's because we are all sinners. But I'm glad to tell you we're saved by grace. Amen. The grace of God found us when we were going the wrong direction. He washed us in the only detergent that will make sin clean. That's the blood of Christ. Amen. I'm talking about love. Love is loving us in spite of and not because of. Amen. But God has a way of seeing the big picture. Have I got a witness? The problem is we only see in part, Paul says, but there will come a time when we're going to see the whole spectrum and we're going to see how much God really loved us. But I got to close this. Not only when we look at God, God's truth for some is elusive, for some it is evasive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for some it is engaging. For some, it is enlightening. For some, it is enduring. But all of us need to know that his truth is eternal. Amen. His truth lasts forever. Amen. If God said it, he'll cause it to come to pass. Amen. John 3 and verse number 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the sun shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Can I go ahead and close? One of the things that I'm glad to tell you, amen, that he has given us, we who have been born again, he has given us eternal life. Now, you say, well, how long is eternity? Don't try to figure it out. You don't need to know. Just enjoy when you get there. But I stopped by to tell you the only ones that have eternal life are those that have accepted Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Lord. I didn't want to go there, but I believe I will anyway. One of the things that we need to understand that going to heaven is more than simply dying. There are those that believe that all I need to do to get to heaven is simply die, and I'll go to heaven. Well, I stop by to tell you that's not true. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Amen, amen. When I understand that all have sinned, I understand that the wrath of God will not be poured out on me. It's deserving of it as I am. It is poured out on Jesus. And it was done because, number one, God loves me. And number two, Jesus loved me. And Jesus wanted us to be with him in paradise. Somebody looked at him and said, what are you talking about? Can't you hear him saying that where I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am there, you may be also. The Lord wants the best for us. And he wants us to spend eternity with him. But can I tell you something? If you don't come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, don't listen to those folks that tell you there are many ways to God. There's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's an inconvenient truth, but it's the truth. It makes us feel good when we say there are many streams to God. No, I'm sorry. There are not many streams to God. There's a narrow way for God. In fact, there's a narrow way to live. Only will you find a few now and then. Let me tell you something. There's a broad way. But the broad way leads to destruction. And I'm glad to tell you that if you come to the Lord, it does not matter when you come to him. You can come to him as young as Jeremy or as old as I am. It does not matter. He will in no wise cast you out. But the truth of the matter is you must come to Jesus. Amen. You will never be good enough. Amen. Amen. There are those that believe you're going to be good enough. Wrong. You can never be good enough. Amen. But the Bible said, though you keep the whole law and offend in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. For many of us, we've offended in more than one point. Go ahead and do that. Amen. Some of us, we've done some whole bunch of stuff that if the cover was jerked off of us, we wouldn't know nobody to see it. Amen. Amen. Come on, talk to me. Amen. You can look all holy when you're sitting in here. Amen. But the Lord knows. And the Lord chooses not to see it. Have I got a witness here? Amen. You can see him look all righteous, all pious. Amen. We look at the back of their wings there. But if the cover came off, amen. But I'm glad that there are some things I will never tell. Amen. Because you don't need to know that God has forgiven me. I am in a right relationship with him. And it's not contingent upon what I've done in the past, but what I've done the day that I met the Lord. I came to Jesus just like I was. All my faults and all my habits. But the Lord washed me and made me whole. My question is, do you know him? Have you tried him? The truth, reality to you. But do you have your own truth that you can come to the church and spend an hour and a half? You know when to say hallelujah. You know when to say praise the Lord. But your life is so far from him. But if you really love the Lord, you will show it in your life. You've got a witness here. You see, somebody had to say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. But I live like hell all week.
Then I'll come to church on Sunday and lift my hand and say hallelujah. I'm gonna stop by to tell you it's more than that. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You need to understand the truth from the way and the life. Clean living is not enough. You must be born again. Have I got a witness? Boy, you see, there are some folk that have never smoked pot. There are some folk that have never drunk alcohol. There are some folk that have never been unfaithful. But if they have not accepted Jesus, they are not going to heaven. Have I got a witness there? For it's not by works, lest any man should boast. But it's by His grace, through faith, I believe.
The truth is, if you have not accepted Christ, you are still in your sins. Does that mean, Brother Pastor, that you never sinned? Doesn't mean that at all. But when I sin, I have an advocate. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. You see, we've made it that we are so holy that most folk can't be part of this because of the holiness. And we should be holy, because He said, be ye holy as I am holy. But the holiness comes not from us, but it comes from Him. We have His holiness. And when He resides in us, He puts a governor on your lives. When you find yourself almost ready to do it, whatever that sin is, an alarm goes off. Warning, warning, warning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He knows how to stop us. But you see, the test to whether you've really been born again is that you quit doing things while you're still young enough to enjoy doing them. See, somebody didn't get that. An 85-year-old man comes and said, Lord, I'm giving my life to You. You know, when you're 85, the Lord's about the only one that'll take you. I done quit running women. No, you didn't. Age made you quit. Like a dog running after a semi. If you caught it, what would you do with it? What's my point? There is an internal governor on those that belong to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. And we do. We find ourselves thinking some things that we ought not think. Amen. You might never go. Might not never put it into fruition, but you thinking it. Can I tell you, you can think of sin. See, it begins in the thought process. You think it before you do it. If left unchecked, and I tell men and I'm done. One of the good things about the Lord is when you see that delightful looking lady and you make advances on her, that God will forgive you if you stop right there. But if you take it further, her husband might not. We shall extend the privilege to the church. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Come, the Bible said, without money, come without price. May we all.
Is a substitute.
That's right.
Paid the price.
That's right.
that we should have had, and we were incapable of doing it. Hallelujah. Not just made it possible that we can be redeemed and reclaimed.
Thank you.
If there's one today that has not made peace with God through